Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bob, how are you doing?
Steve, doing okay. How are you?
Well,
I hope all is well.
Yeah, and so far so good, as we say in the trade. Are you in Florida? Where are you right now?
No, I am at home now. I live in the New York metro area, and you know, we're working from home. We're working remotely at Newsday, but this is generally par for the course during the NFL offseason anyway.
Yeah, I understand. And of course, how do you consider with what is going on with the virus and the optic, as we would say, with the NFL and all the millions of dollars being passed around? And yet, on the other hand, it may not be the best optic in the world when you consider the plight of millions of people all across the country, of course. But it is something for us to talk about, aside from the virus itself, because that, of course, as you know, the number one concern of all of us. However, it is a diversion, sports, the toy department, the recreational slice of the pie of life, the whole thing is a diversion. So maybe it's a good thing we have something to talk about with the NFL.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed on it, Steve. Can I say I feel both ways?
Yep.
I mean, it's just weird. And look, we're dealing with something that this generation and generations past have never dealt with. I was talking to my mom the other day. She's 89 years old. She's in a nursing home. We can't visit her. I said, man, this is my first ever pandemic. And she said, it's mine too. So I was like, it kind of gives you a sense of just how rare this is and how serious it is. And look, we are the toy department. And yet there is some sense of normalcy that the NFL does provide in this day. And, you know, you think of all the signings. The signings were going to occur at some point, you know, whether it be delayed or not. And I think there were a couple of things, Steve, at work here. You know, the NFL and the NFL Players Association talked yesterday about putting off this this signing period. And part of it was that, you know, things probably are going to get worse over time. The NFL did announce today that the draft would take place April 23rd to 25th.
With no public, right?
Yeah, very public. And Steve, I think they're interrelated. Because if you remember back in 2011, when the NFL had a lockout, they had the draft as scheduled in May, in April. And then, you know, the players were locked out until August. Then you had free agency, and it was a very abbreviated, rushed period because everything opened very quickly. And the players didn't get that money. So I think that the union felt that they wanted their players to get proper value. And they are getting proper value. As we've seen these deals come in, these are good market value deals. So, you know, it's a very, very complicated situation. At least we are talking about something sports-related after a time that we have never experienced even close to what's been happening now. I mean, the way things were shuttered last week, a week ago, Monday, life was kind of normal. You know, we had this thing hovering out there, and then by Wednesday when the NBA shut down, it's just out-of-body experience. It just feels like it's not happening, but it obviously is.
Well,
listen, this is weird times for everybody.
Sure. you lead me into, of course, with the new CBA, and we know the 17 games. We know there will not be 18 games until 2030, if at all, even then. And but my first question to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope you do, and I'm sure you will.
Oh, I will.
Well, why should you be different than anyone else? But the bottom line, is it so that 500 union members did not vote among the 2,100 or so NFL players?
Yeah, about 2,500 potential voters, and 1,900 and change voted. Now, here's how I look at that. Yeah, like 500 didn't vote, and that's a big number.
Sure.
Like 70% of the players voted. In this country, do you get 50% to vote in a presidential election? I don't even think you get that much. So there was a lot of engagement. I thought there were more players that voted than I expected, because there's just so much ambivalence and so much apathy in general. And, you know, these are young, a lot of them are young guys, and young guys who kind of don't know and aren't engaged and weren't engaged in the process. So I think that number was actually more than I expected. Sure, you can criticize the 500 who didn't vote. I mean, that's their lives and their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. But, man, when you look at elections in general, it was a high number.
And, of course, the vote with the players voting for the new CBA, that vote was very, very close to begin with. Is that a surprise to you?
Yes, that really was a surprise. I thought it would pass by more. And I wonder, Steve, you know, they delayed the vote by 2 days. They extended the voting from Thursday at midnight to Saturday at midnight. And, you know, as the situation with the coronavirus worsened over the week and over the weekend, I wonder if that prompted some players who were thinking no, because there was a lot of criticism about the deal, to go to yes. And that this vote was decided by 65 out of close to 2,000. That's really close. Kind of indicative of what, you know, the country is like. It's just it's polarized, right? So, but they are moving forward with it, and I think there will eventually be unity among the players. We've seen this kind of back and forth before, where they go at one another. But you know what? They're a together group in the end, and I think once games start, and hopefully they will start reasonably on time, the players will be much more unified than perhaps they are right now.
And because we all love the NFL, certainly we're happy to have another regular season game. And, of course, we know that on Wild Card Weekend there will be 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday. So there's some extra games, and with the NFL, will there be only one bye? By the way, before you even answer that, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I apologize. Who's going to have, in a 17-game season, an extra home game?
The plan right now, Steve, is to alternate it by conference. So 1 year, the NFC would get 9 home games, and each team in the NFC would get 9 home games, and the next year, the AFC teams would get 9 home games. So that's a pretty sensible plan. It remains to be seen whether there will be some neutral site games, whether that extra game would be a neutral site game. I think it's not practical over a long period of time to do that. You know, you do have these international games that kind of count for a neutral site game, but it's very, very difficult to plan for that many games at a neutral site each year. So the general plan is that it would rotate each year by conference.
And when will never mind with the neutral side, when will be a NFL team having its home games in London?
I think we're still a ways away from that. I know the Jaguars are, you know, really committed to London. I just think it's too logistically difficult to have a team in London for the near term. So I think they'll always have that carrot out there, and Roger Goodell likes to have a market that is available and wanting an NFL team What does it do? It creates leverage for a team that might be willing to move. It creates a market for voters in a certain city if they need to build a stadium for that team to stay. There is an enticement there. So I just don't see it happening in the near term, Steve.
17 games, 17 regular season games, still only one bye. Can there be two byes?
No, there's going to be only one bye for the top team in each conference in the playoffs. So you got to have the best record in the conference. You get a bye now. It would be there were two byes. The two best record teams winning the divisions in each conference would get a bye. So that will be difficult. And that some of the players who were against this deal just didn't like that. There was just nothing there was no enticement to, you know, to be great and to get that first round playoff bye, which is very, very valuable. But we've seen a lot of examples, the Giants a couple of times, of teams that don't have buys and still go on to win Super Bowls. So I think that'll even itself out. But there's going to be some adjustments. And, you know, this year there will be the extra playoff teams, but there will only be a 16-game regular season and a 4-game preseason. And then at the earliest, it's 2021 that starts that 17-game season. It's tied to the negotiation of the television contracts. So at the very earliest, next in 2021, it would be a 17-game season.
And during that regular season of 17 games, only one bye, right, as we speak?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Only one bye. Now, this year, there will be just one bye as well because you're adding those two playoff teams.
Find with the 17 games that we'll see in 2021?
Oh, one bye, yes. During the regular season, yes, it would be only one bye.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Playoffs
and yet,
team. Yep.
And some players were upset with the irony here that, okay, the NFL loves to preach about safety, and yet adding a game but not adding, per se, another bye.
Yeah. And what was done there, Steve, to try to even that out, was fewer padded practices will occur now in season. So, look, players get hit in padded practices. I think Damian Woody, former Jets and Patriots center, made a really good point. He says, you know, yeah, you get reduced padded practices, but you know how to take care of yourself in a padded practice, and you can kind of lessen the impact. That 17th game, you are hitting hard every play, and it's going to take a lot out of you. And really, Steve, that was the major thing that the veteran players, guys like Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt, and a couple of other players, Aaron Rodgers among them, they were saying, hey, what are we getting for that's a big deal, a full extra game. It's a big deal. And, you know, people who look at the NFL and say, it's whatever. You know, they're playing a game. They're getting a lot of money. You just stand on the sidelines for 5 minutes in an NFL game. Be my guest, and you'll see. It's like, oh my God, these guys. The contact is intense. Every single play, you just say, how did these guys come out of these games alive? No less having to play the next week. It's a really tough game, and that 17th game is very real. It's a very physical game, and the player safety thing is, you know, they do preach safety and they try, but man, irresistible object against an immovable force. There's pain, there's injury, and I don't think that'll ever go out of this game.
Of course, the players wanted, you know, the elimination of what is it? The transition. Well, I think the owners. What is it, Bob? The owners said right away before any negotiation with the CBA was to begin. We're not even discussing. Otherwise, there's no discussion at all regarding the franchise tag and or the transition tag. Am I correct?
Right. So the players don't want either of them. The players just want unrestricted free agency, period. They don't want the teams to have the right to franchise any player. Now, until now, teams have had the ability to franchise a player, which is basically a prohibitive move. If another team signs that player, they got to give up two first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that. And there's also this transition player, which is the what you have to pay in draft compensation is a little bit less, but it's still a little bit prohibitive. And what it does is it restricts the player's movement. So if you have two, a team has two slots, and, you know, they were talking about the Cowboys using a franchise on Dak Prescott and a transition on Amari Cooper, but they don't have that as part of this new deal. So it's better for the players. It just creates one less spot that owners can use
sure.
to hold on to the contractual rights of a key player. And the franchise tag is generally it's a spot holder. You can use it for a year. You know, Leonard Williams, the Giants will try to work out a long-term deal. If they can, at least he plays this year. And the same with any franchise player. And a lot of these franchise designations will just be the placeholder until they can work out a long-term deal, and then they don't have to worry about it.
Now, what about guaranteed contracts? I mean, the NBA has them, Major League Baseball has them, and the NFL says, well, we don't give guaranteed contracts. Well, yes, they seem to do that, don't they?
Well, they do in some ways, Steve. You know, the signing bonus is the guarantee for virtually every contract. There are a handful of players that have fully guaranteed contracts. Kirk Cousins was one of them, 3 years at, you know, close to $90 million, all guaranteed. Now, he just extended that deal. So it's very, very rare because of the injury rate that teams give fully guaranteed contracts. And that's why it's so important for the players and for the agents to get as much money as possible in that early part of the contract, and that is signing bonus and that first-year salary, and sometimes the first 2 or 3 year salary. So that's where the guarantees come in. And, you know, that's why signing bonuses are so urgent and so imperative for players, because that's really the big part of the guaranteed money that you do get in the NFL.
And
it's
what
not
about,
like baseball, football,
right.
Baseball, basketball, and hockey. It's just right. not. The bulk of those contracts are all guaranteed.
Right. And what about expanded rosters?
Well, that's good for players. You know, there's more job opportunities. It goes up to 55 players. On a roster up from 53. There'll be a couple more practice squad spots as well. And you can dress now 48 players for a game instead of 46. So, you know, that's kind of a nod to that 17th game. You're going to need more players. You know, the NFLPA, the Players Association, would argue for even more spots, but, you know, the NFL gave them two more. You're going to play another game. You're going to need more players, and it's a game of attrition. You need as many roster spots on game day and on a team as you could possibly get.
I want to ask you about the Giants and the Jets and some of the moves made today. And before we do, are the players going to make as much as they were making the first 16 weeks per week? Are they going to make in week 17 when that comes about next season? Will they be making the same amount of money that they were making the previous 16 weeks in week number 17?
Really good question, Steve. And that was a sticking point at the very end of the negotiation. So the NFL said, well, you know, if you make over $4.5 million a year, you basically end up making $250,000 for that 17th game. Now, that's a lot of money for a lot of people, but if you're making, you know, $600,000 a game in a decent contract, and then you go down to $250,000 playing the 17th. There's a problem. So the NFL players and the management council had one more meeting. It was in Indianapolis during the scouting combine, and the NFL relented on it. So basically, you get the same pay per week for that 17th game as you do for the previous 16. So that was probably the last give back by the owners, and they did resolve that, and that's only fair. I mean, if you're getting paid a certain amount, you got to be paid. You can't be making less for an additional game.
We are talking with the terrific Bob Glauber of Newsday, who obviously, as we can all tell, covers the NFL. Did the Jets, did they make any kind of noise today that you have heard? Anything that on the table with the New York Jets as of today and tomorrow?
No, a lot of talk, but nothing firm. So I think Joe Douglas, who has got a lot of money, his first full year as the Jets general manager, has not really taken a dive into the pool. Jack Conklin was certainly hoped for, a really good tackle from Tennessee, ended up going to to Cleveland, where they are desperate. I mean, they are absolutely desperate for linemen and particularly tackles. So he did not overpay for that. And they would like to get a pass rusher. I think Dante Fowler is on their radar. But it's been a quiet start for Joe Douglas. Now, don't forget, he's got to pay Jamal Adams. He said Jamal Adams would want him to be a Jet for life, so you got to save your money for that. And I think Joe Douglas is going to really concentrate his offensive line, investment in the draft. I think it's going to be a very important draft for his offensive linemen, and you're probably going to end up in the second and third waves of trying to get more offensive linemen. That's right. They have one player from the starting lineup last year, Brian Winters, at right guard, who is back. Edogo will probably play right tackle, but they need a left tackle, they need a right a left guard, and they need a center, unless Jonathan Harrison is going to come back and play, and I think he did a fairly credible job. So a lot of holes left to fill on the offensive line. And, you know, what do you do with Robbie Anderson?
Right.
You know, Robbie Anderson not in the first wave of free agents, but they'd like to re-sign him, and I think Robbie Anderson would like to be back as a really quality wide receiver for Sam Darnold.
And are there some outside linebackers? We were hearing some noise that maybe the Jets were interested in an outside linebacker or two that might be available.
Yeah, Dante Fowler would fit that description, and I think that he certainly is a guy who would fill a need. I mean, Steve, we've been talking about the Jets getting a pass rusher since before Quentin Coples. I mean, Sean Ellis is the last really good John Abraham before
John Abraham.
And they were drafted in 2000.
And Abraham last seen sitting on the bench.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so it's been a decades-long push to get an outside linebacker. And I think that'll be another concentration in the draft. It's a decent draft. At edge rusher, and it's a fairly deep draft there. But I think Joe Douglas will come away. And if Fowler, you know, ends up signing, I think that would be a pretty good, I'd say pretty good, not great, because Fowler did not do the kind of job with the Rams that I expected him to. Really had a great start with Jacksonville and, you know, was dealt to the Rams. And just there's just something a little bit missing there. But, it's just indicative of how hard it is to find a true outside pass rusher. And, you know, Bud Dupree would have been a good guy, but the Steelers have franchised him. So the pickings are very slim at that position. Calais Campbell getting a steal by the Ravens, him going there from Jacksonville, fifth-round pick. It's ridiculous for a guy of that talent. So, you know, the Ravens, to me, have done a tremendous job of rebuilding their defensive line in about 3 days in this offseason so far.
Why couldn't the Titans trade O'Brien instead of DeAndre Hopkins?
Well,
you know, I mean, really, did he mastermind this kind of deal?
Yeah, I mean, he signed off on it. And DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, do you really want to trade a Hall of Fame receiver who has done everything right? I mean, everything right, from making great plays to being a great team player, to never, never making it about himself. And then he just goes and trades him for a running back. Now, David Johnson, the Cardinals running back, who was, you know, now a Titan, he's terrific. And when he's healthy, now he's had some injury problems
healthy,
over the last
right.
couple of years. But you really trade a big-time wide receiver for a running back in a league that prides itself and really has everything going in the passing game? I don't know. That's a weird one, and Bill O'Brien has made some kind of weird moves before, and this will not help him in terms of his street cred in with the people of Houston.
Before we leave the Titans of the turf, how about Ryan Tannehill, born under a lucky star?
Oof. They traded for him a year ago, and he had, by all accounts, a great comeback season. You know, once he was put into the lineup, had a really nice playoff run. But I think you saw in the championship game against the Chiefs that when Tannehill had to pass to win, he couldn't do it. But they have decided that he is the guy. They want to invest that money in him, and that's it. That's a stunner, Steve. And But what are you going to do? And it really took another option off of the table for Tom Brady. And that's the one guy we haven't seen move yet. And that's the glamour player of this entire free agency period. And we don't know what's going to happen. Does he go back to New England? I don't know. They're spending a lot of money on other players, so there's not going to be much left for Tom Brady. They can spread a deal out over time now that this new CBA has been met. But I don't know. I think it's possible, certainly, that Tom Brady plays elsewhere. Still obviously possible he goes back. But
yeah.
I know the Raiders would like to have him. The Chargers would like to have him. So he's still going to be left with some options.
How about if Bridgewater ends up in Tampa and Winston ends up with the Raiders?
I don't think that. I think Gruden would stick with Derek Carr over Winston. I think he's a little bit more reliable. And Tampa, I had forgotten to mention him with Brady. Mm-hmm. They would love to have Tom Brady. I mean, Bruce Arians coaching Tom Brady, he basically let Brady do whatever he wanted to do. And that is the third very, very big option outside of New England for Tom Brady. But I don't know. I don't see Gruden going for Jameis Winston. I mean, that'd be a tough one.
Philip Rivers with the Colts, that's a rumor.
I think Philip Rivers with the Colts is a very, very sensible move. And, they've had discussions today. I think that would be, it's not a long-term solution. But, once Andrew Luck retired, Jacoby Brissett, I think, did as well as he possibly could. But, he's a backup quarterback, so they need a starting presence in there. They just traded for DeForest Buckner today with the 49ers to give up a first-round pick. So this is a team that I think believes its window is open right now, and Rivers is a guy who is a win-now quarterback in terms of his age. I mean, the guy's got one, maybe 2 years left, if that. And you could argue that maybe he doesn't have any time left, but, of the options out there, Rivers would seem to make a lot of sense.
You got to figure that with the New York football Giants, they kind of backed themselves into a corner, have they not, with Leonard Williams?
Yeah, yep, they certainly did, Ollie. Steve, only you and I can get that
yes.
joke, but what the hell?
Yes.
but look, this deal was really strange to begin with because, Jet fans have seen Leonard Williams for a number of years, and when they made the trade midseason, it's like, wow, really? I remember being in an airport on the way back from a game when this deal went down. I'm like, man, they really spent that kind of draft capital for Leonard Williams? Like, okay, no sacks and a lot of disappointment. But, they feel that Leonard Williams is a disruptive player, can make some plays on the inside. They felt that position was solidified. The drafting of Dexter Lawrence certainly helped. But I don't know, they do seem to be backed into a corner, and they'll have him at least at the franchise number. So they did buy themselves some time. But unless you sign him long-term, and really unless he develops into a big-time player, that trade looks like an L for Dave Gettleman. But, they do have conviction on him. And, Gettleman has shown that he's willing to kind of defy conventional wisdom. And the guy's 26 years old. Leonard Williams still has a lot of football ahead. And with maybe a good pass rusher around him, his impact will be a little bit better.
And your thoughts on the Giants today addressing their secondary?
Yeah, they signed the cornerback Bradbury. Familiarity with Dave Gettleman. So I think it was like they couldn't get Byron Jones, who signed for a ton of money in Miami. So I think Bradbury is a competent number two alternative. They're still a little bit lacking in the secondary, but it is a guy who can be a starter and can be, a decent and solid and reliable player. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they upgraded tremendously, but after you lose Jackrabbit and do away with him really, mm-hmm. I think he's a decent alternative.
Don't you love the fact that Eric Flowers, 3 years, $30 million with Miami. What a great move, Bob.
Eric Flowers, man, never, he just was miscast in New York, and never really was comfortable. I thought he was he's a durable player. I mean, he is physically durable and he's tough. And I think Tom Coughlin really liked him his first year, but it just didn't fit. And at least he was able to resurrect his career in Washington. Now moves on. So good for Eric Flowers and good for NFL free agency for that guy. I'll tell you that.
Stephon Diggs leaving Minnesota.
Yeah. Now, did that happen as we speak? Because there was. I think he's going to leave. I don't know that it happened yet. These things happen by the minute.
Yeah. All right, Bob, I can't thank you enough for about a half hour here. It means a lot to us, and I'm sure not only us here on this side of the microphone, but football fans, Jets fans, Giants fans, and I can't thank you enough for giving us some time. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Sounds great, Steve. Thank you for having me. Great talking. I'll be in touch.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.